Well, let's just commit our time to the Lord. A word of opening prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank Thee that we are found in the house of God on this evening of Thine own day. Come, O God, we pray, encourage us. We pray, Lord, that this night we might know with assurance that God is here. Lord, speak to all of our hearts this evening. And Lord, we pray that especially for any who are out of Christ, Lord, may this be the night when they will come. They will leave their sin behind and they will come to Jesus Christ. So hear and answer prayer, be with us now, and give us help in our worship tonight. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of 304, the words will be on the screen. We are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. 304, we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord again. In a word of prayer, let's seek His help and His presence with us tonight. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the assurance and the testimony of this hymn that we've been singing tonight. We thank the Lord tonight for each one that's saved. Lord, we are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord tonight that one day we'll leave this old world behind. Lord, we rejoice that one day we'll leave all of the troubles and trials of this world behind and we'll go in to see the Savior. We thank the Lord for the blessed assurance that we have within our hearts tonight. It's well with our souls. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for each one in this meeting who are saved. We praise Thee, O God, for that moment in our life's experience when by faith we left our sin, we turned from our sin, and we trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. And Lord, we praise Thee tonight that our faith is trusting, Lord, not in device nor creed, but in the ever-living One, the One whose wounds plead for us tonight. O God, we thank Thee tonight for the Gospel. We thank Thee, O Lord, tonight for Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, for the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that You would come, Lord, and make Thyself real to all of our hearts. Reveal Thyself to us this evening. O God, we just ask, Lord, that tonight we might be very conscious, Lord, that God is amongst us, that God is here. Come, O God, speak to every waiting heart. Lord, each one of Thy dear children, revive us. Lord, encourage us. Lord, we pray that we might go on with Thee. My Heavenly Father, we pray that we might seek, Lord, to live and lot closer walk in fellowship with Thee. And Heavenly Father, tonight for those who as yet do not know Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, that this night will be the night of their salvation, the night of their conversion, the night when they will leave their sin and come to Jesus Christ. So, our Father, we pray that You'll bless our coming together tonight. Bless every part of this meeting. We give it over to Thee. We pray, Lord, especially for our brother Jonathan. Lord, we thank Thee for him and encourage him. Lord, even tonight as he would come and minister to us in song, may he know help from heaven. Lord, we pray that he'll know great help even as he would stand and sing the praises of his God tonight. Lord, even through the messages and songs, speak to some heart, we pray. We pray, Lord, through the Word of God, we ask, O God, that tonight You'll come. And Lord, we pray that this evening will be a blessed night, a night, Lord, when business will be done in hearts and lives that will last for all of eternity. Lord, bless the going forth of Thy Word. Bless all who have gathered in the house of God tonight. Pray, Lord, for those who are watching online. O God, we pray tonight, wherever they are, speak to their hearts. Bring them to Thyself, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for those who are cold and careless. Lord, for those who are far from Thee tonight. Lord, we pray You'll bring them back to Thyself. O Heavenly Father, restore unto such, Lord, those years that the locusts have eaten and devoured. And Heavenly Father, we pray, bring the prodigal back to the Father's house. Lord, we pray that You'll bless the Gospel as it goes forth, not only here in Sandown tonight, but across our land, Lord, and across our nation. O God, turn us again. Lord, cause Thy face to shine, we pray. Lord, turn the tide of iniquity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight we'll be very conscious that God is here and that to bless us. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell in their own homes, minister to them, touch them in their bodies, O God, we pray. And Lord, that very soon we'll see them back again in the house of God. So do our hearts good. Meet with us. Come up with us tonight. Lord, we pray that Thy presence will fill the house. Hear and answer prayer and continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Delighted to welcome our brother Jonathan Mitchell back with us again tonight. We welcome him warmly in the Savior's name. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us just now. Thank you, Jonathan.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. Guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
I'd like to thank your minister for the invitation to come and sing here tonight. It's nice to be back with you all again. And the next song I'm going to sing is a song I think is very applicable, despite we're in the middle of a pandemic. And the words go, till a storm passes by. And I hope these words encourage you.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming and for your help this evening. We've certainly been blessed by your ministry, and we'll hear from you in just a moment's time. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this evening for our scripture reading to the New Testament and to the book of Acts. Book of Acts and the chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20. It reads from verse 17 of this chapter down to the end of verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. I want to preach this evening on something that has been on my heart for quite some time, and something that has particularly grieved my heart, and I'm sure has grieved your heart as well. And that is, the gospel is gospel service. And that the gospel service is really no longer a gospel service in many places. There's no sounding forth of the plain, simple message of the truth of God's Word. And I want to look this evening on what the Word of God would have to say to us about the gospel and about the preaching of the gospel. But let's read together from Acts chapter 20 and the verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and temptations which befall me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have testified, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and sparing not the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day, with tears." Amen. Pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We end there at verse 31. Let me at this stage welcome you all along to our gospel service this evening. We welcome you warmly in the Savior's name. We're glad to see you. We trust you feel at home with us this evening. Those who are visiting, we welcome you as well. And we're glad to have you join with us. Do come back and join with us, please, if you can. Let me just very quickly run through some of the announcements for the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord. On Tuesday morning, that will be the last for this year anyway of our outreach program, and we have more outreach leaflets to give out. And plus as well, we want to give out the little invitations to our special Christmas services. So on Tuesday morning, we're going to cover Sydenham and if possible Conbrook as well. So rather than meeting here on Tuesday morning, for those who can, we will meet over in Sydenham outside the Church of Ireland there in the Larkfield Road. You turn off the Holyrood Road, go down Palmerston, and past the skip there and then turn into Larkfield Road and the church there on your left-hand side. So if you just park up there, and then that'll be a good meeting place. Rather than meeting here and then going over there, we'll meet over there directly and we'll have the leaflets with us. So if you can help for one last push this Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Then we have the Explorers Bible Club on Tuesday evening at 7, and then we have the committee meeting, which was postponed from last Tuesday night, this Tuesday evening, God willing, at 8 o'clock. Thursday night, our Bible study and prayer meeting, and I'll be here, God willing, to bring the word on Thursday evening. Then we have our monthly presbytery meeting for our elders, that's on Friday at 8. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class. And next Lord's Day, we are recommencing again the times of prayer open for all the congregation to come to. And so we're having those times of prayer up in the room behind in the first floor room. And if you can come that little bit earlier and just stay for those moments to pray before the commencement of the service. Just after 11 o'clock, once the Bible class is finished, the room will be sanitized and made safe again and clean. And if you can come just after 11 o'clock till about 20 past 11 for that season of prayer. That's open to everyone, and we encourage as many as possible to come for those seasons of prayer. Morning worship, 11:30, our Sunday school over in Holyrood at 2:30. And then we'll have our evening pre-service prayer meeting commencing as well at 6 o'clock, again in the same room next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Then we have the first of our special Christmas services next Sunday night at 6:30. The Lockhart family and our brother Pastor Philip Bowles will be here to sing, and our brother Philip will also be bringing God's Word next Sunday evening. So you should have received the little invitation cards. If not, there's loads of them there. Please use these. Invite others along. Bring someone along with you. Even ask the Lord to place someone on your heart this week that you can invite along to these special Christmas services. So come yourself and bring others as well, and use these little invitation cards as a means of inviting others along. There are still copies of the Reverend David McMillan's paper pulpit. They're only £3. Take one with you and you can pay at another stage. And then there are still, I think, a few copies of the missionary calendar available for next year. If you haven't got one, they're free of charge. Take that with you. Do remember those who are still unwell, pray for them. Remember our shut-ins and our elderly as well at this time, please. And finally, the offerings and tithes can be placed in the boxes as you leave. These announcements all made subject to the will of the Lord. I'm going to ask Jonathan if he'd come and sing for us again. God bless you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. graciously, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me?
Again, our thanks to Jonathan this evening. Certainly been blessed by your ministry and song tonight. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord speak to your heart tonight. Sinner, sinner, come home, call of the gospel. And it's gone out already tonight by way of song. And we want to thank Jonathan for coming and for his help in the meeting tonight. Acts chapter 20, as we come to the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter 20. Verse 21 is really where we want to center our thoughts upon, although we will look at other verses as well. But Acts chapter 20 and the verse 21. And here is the great apostle Paul, who said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer before we come to His Word tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for help already given in this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Jonathan as he's ministered to us in song. What a blessing, Lord, that ministry has been. And, O God, we pray that You'll encourage him and use him and bless him in his own life, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we come to Thy Word, we ask, O God, that tonight You'll give that special help. Oh God, I pray for help from heaven this evening. Lord, help, Lord, that I do not have of myself. And I pray, O God, that tonight you'll come and, Lord, speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we pray that this will be a very different meeting. Lord, this will be a night when we will all, Lord, do business with thee. Most of all, it'll be a night when the sinner will come to Christ, leave their sin, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For, Lord, we thank thee tonight that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And so answer prayer. Be with us. Give us help. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. The format of two services on the Lord's Day is something which is more than simply traditional. Now, there are those who would tell us tonight that once a week, one service on a Sunday is sufficient, and that there is no biblical warrant for another service in the evening. Now, such an argument as that has no basis in Scripture, certainly, but has basis only in the sad laziness and sloppiness that has pervaded the church, especially in recent years. People just can't be bothered coming to church again on a Sunday evening. Now, let me make it very clear that I believe that there are those who, because of medical illness or sickness or advancing years, find it very hard to get out on a Sunday evening. I understand that. But tonight I'm speaking about those, and many, many of them, who have absolutely no excuse for not attending God's house on the Lord's Day evening. Both services on the Lord's Day is something which goes away back in early church times. If you consider, even in biblical times, the worship in the temple, there was the morning sacrifice and there was also the evening sacrifice. You consider the disciples, that body of believers who gathered on the evening of the Lord's Day. The early church fathers, their writings, Augustine and Hippo and others, all of their writings speak about two or more gatherings, in fact, on the Lord's Day. That was revived again during the period of the Reformation, and I believe especially during the time of the Puritans. Two services on the Lord's Day was the absolute norm in every church, and especially so during times of revival. And in fact, if you read the accounts of revival, many people didn't even leave church on the Lord's Day. Such was their love and desire to be in the house of God. The evening service, especially in evangelical circles, was and is called the gospel service. That one meeting that is given over to the full, plain, simple preaching of the gospel of Christ. And yet it is the evening gospel service tonight in 2021 that has fallen on hard times. The second meeting on the Lord's Day evening in many churches has been done away with. And the gospel service, for those that do have a second meeting, has become the gospel-less service. Because there is no preaching of the truth of the gospel. Yes, there's preaching, all right, but there's preaching that, to be quite honest with you, resembles more than you would find in a Bible college or some theological place or some discussion paper that somebody would put in for someone who's studying for a PhD in theology. You see, tonight the tragedy of the evangelical church is that the gospel service is gospel in name only. And it is this that I want to consider this evening. Because for those in this meeting without Christ, you may have no knowledge of the gospel. And tonight I trust as plainly and as simply as I can that we'll see how simple, how clear, how plain the gospel message really, truly is. You see, tonight if you do not know the gospel, if you do not know Christ, then you're lost, you're dead in sin. And I want to show you tonight why the plain preaching of the gospel is so important, why it is so vital. Why for you, the sinner, but why as well for the child of God, for the entire church of Christ. First of all, I want you to notice with me here the mandate. for gospel preaching. The mandate for gospel preaching. Keep your finger there in Acts 20 and turn back to Luke chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Why should a preacher preach the gospel? Because it's the message that people need to hear? Because it's the message that will change hearts and lives? Because it's the message that brings peace and hope to troubled minds and hearts? Yes, all of those, but more importantly, there must be the plain preaching of the gospel. The church must proclaim the gospel because Christ, who is the head of his church, has mandated his church to preach the gospel. Look in Luke's Gospel 24 and the verse 47. Verse 46, first of all. And this is Christ speaking to the two on the Emmaus road. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here's the Lord speaking with these two disciples, and they're downcast and they're weary, and the instruction that he gives to them just before he leaves this world and goes back to his Father in heaven. What does he command his followers to do? To preach repentance and remission of sins to all in the name of Christ. And that really sums up the gospel. Repentance from sin, forgiveness of sin tonight, not through a church, not through a creed, not through a confession, but through Christ. That's the good news. That's the greatest news of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And you see, folks, that's the message that the church has been mandated to preach. To go and to tell the world of Christ. The Great Commission in Mark 16 and 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. Why? Why? Then does the church of Christ today not preach the gospel? Well, many will say they are preaching the gospel, but they're not preaching the gospel of the Bible. Preaching a gospel of works, preaching a gospel of society, preaching a gospel of prosperity. They're not the gospel as the Word of God, and we'll see that in a moment. You see, many in the professing church today, evangelical world especially, don't seem to want to preach the plain, simple message of the gospel, even though it's commanded by the Lord. You see, the gospel is evangelical in nature. And I mean by that it is to be preached with a view of reaching out to those who are lost in sin. We hold gospel missions, rightly so. We have gospel outreaches, rightly so, all because the gospel is outreach. But we must not limit the preaching of the gospel to a few times throughout the course of a year. We must preach the gospel every week. In fact, in all of our weekly activities, it must be centered on the gospel, centered on seeking to bring the good news to men and women, young people and all people. It's been a long-standing part of the weekly program of the church that at least one meeting, often the Sunday evening meeting, is given over to evangelism especially, and given over to the preaching of the gospel with special emphasis on the gospel. Now, I know the morning meeting, by and large, is teaching directed to the people of God, but the evening meeting was and should be, I believe, more of a means of gospel outreach. Yet sadly, this is becoming less and less in the Church of Christ today. Now, I know you can have your evangelistic meeting on a Sunday morning, and there's no problem with that. Not at all. But what I see happening today is that the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening meetings and becoming very heavy as far as theology and doctrine is concerned, and there's no direct gospel emphasis. Our denomination, for all of its faults and all of its flaws, always placed a special emphasis on the simple, plain preaching of the gospel on the Lord's Day evening, and I believe rightly so. Calling sinners to be saved, calling sinners to look to Christ in salvation. But sadly, I see an ever-increasing move away from the straightforward preaching of the gospel, either on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. Oh, I hear it said, well, sinners are not coming in. How do they know that? How do they know that everyone sitting in their meetings are saved? Why have some ministers taken it upon themselves to no longer preach the glorious gospel of saving grace? Is the case today that the church has fallen out of love with the simplicity of the gospel? To ignore the mandate from Christ to preach the gospel to every creature? God's people, I've heard some of them say, I don't go to the gospel service because I am saved. What an awful tragedy. Because if the gospel doesn't charm your heart and life, dear child of God, if the thought of Jesus Christ dying on the cross to forgive you, to save you from your sin, doesn't charm your heart, you need to look at your heart. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I think you know that. I believe God has a people to be saved. But I don't know who those people are. And so it is incumbent upon me, it is incumbent upon us as a church to preach and to sound forth the gospel to all, regardless of what we think or regardless of who we think may be in our meetings. We're to preach the gospel. You think of that time when a young Spurgeon, still in his unsaved state, went into that little primitive Methodist church. Mr. Spurgeon in his early years was very despondent, despairing, trying to find peace in this world. And that Sunday morning he stumbled upon a church he had never been in before. And a lay preacher got up to preach. He had nothing prepared. The minister couldn't come because of the weather. There might have been the temptation to cancel the meeting, but that didn't happen. And the lay preacher got up to preach, no notes, nothing prepared. And he simply quoted again and again the words of Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God." Spurgeon, a young Spurgeon, 15, 16 years of age, in the very back of that church. And all he heard was this man in the pulpit repeating again and again, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Mr. Spurgeon had never heard this message before. And then all of a sudden, very directly, the preacher pointed towards Mr. Spurgeon, who was sitting in the back, and he says, "Young man, you're miserable. And you'll continue to be miserable until you look to Christ." It wasn't an eloquent sermon, it wasn't a structured sermon, but I tell you this, it was a sincere, simple gospel message. Sinner, look to Jesus. And that day, Charles Spurgeon looked to Christ and was saved. Do you know that man never made the headlines in the church? That man never wrote any books. That preacher never traveled the world on preaching crusades, but that day he simply preached the simple, plain message of the gospel, and it was that message that challenged the heart of the young Spurgeon, and it was that message that saved him, it was that message that won him, and we know of the countless hundreds of thousands that Mr. Spurgeon went on to see saved, all because he heard a simple gospel message. I fear today for our church, I have to be honest. And I hear people in other churches and they contact me and they lament the lack of gospel preaching and gospel emphasis in certain places and in certain pulpits. The mandate from Christ being set aside. No warning to sinners. No pleading with the lost to be saved. In this meeting tonight, without Christ, I make no apology for pleading with your soul tonight. Pleading with you to be saved, to come to Christ. The mandate for gospel preaching, it's from the Lord Himself. This is not church tradition. This is obedience to the command of Christ, the head of the church. Not only is there the mandate for gospel preaching, but I want us to come now and look at the message in gospel preaching. The message in gospel preaching. Turn back to Acts chapter 20 now. Do you know, I hear people say that when you preach the gospel, you preach the same, the plain, simple message of the gospel, well, there's not much teaching in it. There's no theology, there's nothing much for me to consider or to ponder. And yet, whenever you preach the gospel, you are preaching the very cardinal doctrines of the theology of the Christian faith. People are arguing today about whether they're infralapsarian or superlapsarian. And if you don't know what that is, it doesn't make any difference. And all this great, grand theology, I have no notion what they're talking about. And yet they don't preach the simple gospel because they believe there's no preaching or there's no theology in it, there's no teaching in it. The greatest gospel preacher outside of Christ was the Apostle Paul. And he devoted his life to the furtherance of the gospel and to the preaching of the gospel. And Paul, here in Acts chapter 20, is moving on from Ephesus. He's leaving the church. But he's leaving them with a message. Look at verse 27. These are his farewell words. And look what he says, verse 27, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You go back into verse 24, he talks about testifying the gospel of the grace of God. And he was very clearly teaching the gospel in his preaching. The whole counsel of God is the sum and the substance of His message. Now, I know there are many facets to this wonderful gospel. But when it's all boiled down, what is it that Paul preached? What is the whole counsel of God? Well, I want you to turn to verse 21. Look at verse 21. I believe this is the gospel, this is the whole counsel of God. In verse 21, Paul saying, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the whole counsel of God, plain and simple. And in that gospel, there is full of teaching. And dear believer this evening, dear sinner this evening, when I preach the gospel, though it comes, I know, on the weakness of this preacher, but when I preach the gospel, by God's help, as I will endeavor to do every week in this church, especially in the Sunday night, I'm preaching truth. Gospel truth. So what is the message of the gospel? What's the teaching of the gospel? Well, there are many, many points we could talk about this, but I want us to notice three doctrines that are contained in the gospel. First of all, there's the doctrine of sin. Verse 21, repentance toward God. Repentance means turning away from sin. In preaching the gospel, what are you doing? You're bringing men and women, you're facing them with the doctrine of sin. You are confronting men and women with the reality that they're sinners. They're born in sin. They continue in sin. They live in sin. Sin separates from God. If you're here without Christ, you are separated from God. Why? Because of sin. It's that sin that will keep you out of heaven. It is because of that sin that the wrath of God is upon you tonight. In this meeting without Christ, you are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's the doctrine of sin. But there's also the doctrine of substitution. Verse 21 talks, goes on and says, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This brings us there to the cross, to the place where Christ died, the just for the unjust. He died in the sinner's place. He paid the penalty for our sin that should have been ours. He took my place. He died for me. That's why we must exercise saving faith in Him and in Him alone. No other died for you. No other took your place. No other can forgive your sin. None but Christ. And you say, whenever we preach the gospel, yes, we're confronting men and women with the reality that they're sinners, but we're confronting them as well with the doctrine of substitution that Christ on the cross took your place. That's why we need to preach up Christ. That's why we need to preach up the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the atonement through Christ. So when we preach the gospel, we're preaching gospel truth, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of substitution, but we're also preaching the doctrine of salvation. Verse 24. The very end of it talks about the gospel of the grace of God. Where do we see the grace of God evident? God's great work of salvation. His free, unbounded salvation that He provides for us in Christ. That's the grace of God. The salvation that the sinner needs, the salvation that will only save a sinner is by the grace of God. That grace in God giving us His Son to be our Savior, the one who died on the cross to take away our sin, the one who died to be your Savior. And you see, when you're preaching the gospel, evangelical truth and doctrine is being preached. When sinners are called to repentance, you are preaching the doctrine of sin. When you warn men and women to flee from the judgment of God because of their sin, you're preaching the doctrine of the wrath of God. When you bring a sinner to the cross, work of Christ, you are preaching the doctrine of substitution. Christ died for you. Christ alone can save you. The doctrine of salvation. Oh, what a message we have to preach tonight. What a gospel we have to declare. And oh, that tonight, if you're here without Christ, you would see your great need of Him. That tonight you'd realize you're under the wrath of God. That tonight you would see that your only hope is found not in a church, not in this church, but found alone in Christ. God bring us back to the plain preaching of the gospel in our churches. You see, sinner, tonight you don't need to hear a fairy tale. Do you no good? You don't need to hear a pep talk. Not save your soul. You need to hear the gospel. Because it's only the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The message in gospel preaching, it is full of truth. The mandate for gospel preaching is given to us by the Lord, head of the church. And then there is the manner of gospel preaching. How should the gospel be preached? I would suggest to you, first of all, that the gospel should be preached, first of all, with plainness. With plainness. One of the scourges in evangelical circles and in the evangelical church today is the complication of the gospel. Do I love that term? I love whenever I hear people praying about the term, that the gospel's so simple that the youngest child can understand. How many of us were saved as children? Because the gospel is so plain and simple that the youngest child can understand. A little child, 7 or even 3 or 4, may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. And yet many preachers today preach and they complicate the gospel. Seems that they want to impress their congregations more with their intelligence and their grasp of deep theology, and they miss the plainness of the gospel. Their meetings are more like theological lectures, preaching above the heads of everybody and nobody knowing what they're preaching about. I've heard that said. Christ, the greatest preacher, preached the gospel with such plainness and such simplicity, nobody could misunderstand. He started out in his gospel ministry. His first gospel sermon was a simple, simple one. He called to those gathered around him. He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Nobody could have misunderstood what he was talking about. And sadly today, we've lost the plainness of gospel preaching. Plainly and simply tonight, sinner in this meeting, you're a sinner under God's wrath. And you will be lost in hell unless you turn to Christ. Christ alone for salvation. I couldn't make it any simpler. Mr. Spurgeon, coming back to him again. He said this concerning the city of London in which he preached. He said, "I feel sure that God will bless London because at this very moment, if the gospel is preached so that people can understand it, they will throng to hear it. And when men preach the gospel plainly and simply, they will never lack a congregation in this great city. I am certain of it." Spurgeon preached the gospel plainly and simply. God give us plainness and simplicity in our gospel preaching. Not only are we to preach it with plainness, we're also to preach it with passion. Look at verse 31, Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Paul, the great theologian, great missionary, great preacher, had passion in his preaching, and in Ephesus for 3 years he warned men and women night and day with tears. He had a passion in his preaching. He was earnest in his preaching. And you know why? Because he had a burden for those to whom he was preaching. Those to whom he was preaching, many of them were lost, sinners going to hell, sinners on the verge of hell, sinners going down that broad way that leads to everlasting destruction. And so with great passion and earnestness, he warned sinners, he pleaded with them, with tears, "Flee from the wrath of God, run to Christ, repent, and come to Jesus Christ." And they preached the gospel with passion beyond what we see today. You see, there are those who will tell us today we can't call sinners to Christ. We shouldn't call sinners to faith and repentance in Christ because only the Lord knows those that are saved. That's true. I believe that with all my heart. Only the Holy Spirit can convert from sin. Only the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. But Paul, as Christ did, he warned sinners and he called sinners. Sinners on the verge of hell. And preachers don't warn them. Sinners on the verge of going out to hell, lost in sin. And preachers don't want to call them to Christ for fear that that might infringe upon their theology. God have mercy upon us. As God gives me breath, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the lampshade, that's for sure. And I don't have eloquence in preaching. Oh, that I had more ability to preach. But as God gives me ability, I'll preach with plainness the simple message of the gospel. It's that simple message that I was brought up with. It's that simple message that I heard week after week. And I believe that's that simple message that we still, in our denomination, need to keep preaching. Plead with sinners. Yes, pray with them. Pray for them. But plead with them. And tonight in this meeting, if you're here without Christ, I plead with you. Come to Christ. Finally, we are to preach with plainness, with passion, but we are also to present the gospel with purpose. With purpose. What is the purpose in our declaring of the gospel? That we just get through half an hour on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning. That we take off another box, well, that's another one done. No, no, we must preach with purpose, and the purpose is to see sinners saved. It's not to promote the preacher, it's not to promote the church, but to present Christ to a world that's lost and dying, and to show them that Christ is their only hope, and to see them delivered from the wrath of God. That should be the purpose, to call sinners to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. The challenge needs to be presented, I believe. Christ must be presented. But the choice must be presented as well. Choose you this day whom you will serve. With plainness, with passion, with purpose, we need to get back to the old-fashioned preaching of the gospel. I leave you with this from Mr. Tozer, A.W. Tozer. He said, we need preachers who preach that hell is still hot. And it is. We need preachers who preach that heaven is still real, and it is. That sin is still wrong, and it is. That the Bible is still God's word, and it is. And that Jesus still the only way of salvation. May we ever be faithful to the plain, simple preaching of the gospel. If it was good enough for Christ, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it should be good enough for today. We're supposed to be living in a more enlightened and a smarter, brainier generation. And yet there's more hostility to the gospel today than there's ever been. I've heard of men and women come and go from gospel services and say, I don't know what I was supposed to do there. God, have mercy on us. Sinners coming in through the doors of our church do not know that they're a sinner, do not know that they need to be saved. They're never warned. God, have mercy on us. Let's get back to the preaching of the gospel. It's that gospel that Christ has ordained to bless. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, it is that gospel, only that gospel, that will save your soul. Oh, that tonight you would see your need. And oh, that tonight you would run to Christ. For in Him and in Him alone there is forgiveness, there is salvation. Thank God tonight for the gospel. Help us ever to preach it. Help us ever to proclaim it. Help us ever to love the gospel of saving grace. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening for the glorious gospel. We thank the Lord that it is the mandate of Christ to His people to preach that gospel. We thank the Lord for its message, that it tells us that we're sinners. It tells us of a Savior who died in our place. It tells us of Christ, the One who is mighty to save. And O God, we pray that You'll give us help, Lord, even in our own lives, Lord, to witness and to tell others with plainness the gospel. Give us passion. Give us purpose. And Lord, we please to use the preaching of the gospel. Oh God, we pray today that the world outside may see something in the beauty of Christ, even within our hearts. May they see the gospel within our lives, that they might run to Christ and call upon Him for mercy. Call upon Him for salvation. Do that even tonight. Those here without Christ, those listening online, we pray, Lord, tonight that the gospel will be the power of God unto salvation to their believing hearts. Answer prayer. Be with us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the singing of hymn number 247, 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, 'tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung, our God is able to deliver thee. We'll stand together as we sing this closing hymn, please.
Is the grandest thing for a mortal tongue, is the grandest thing that the world e'er saw, our God.
tonight, that is the greatest message you'll ever hear. God is able to deliver thee. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll write the Word of God upon every heart. We pray, O God, tonight that you'll give grace, Lord, for those who are still out of Christ to leave their sin and to trust thee. And Lord, we pray that for all who are saved, Lord, give us that passion. Give us that desire, O God, once again for the simple, plain gospel message. O God, may it constantly thrill our souls. Lord, we pray that we'll never grow weary or tired of telling that old, old story. So answer prayer for us tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we leave. May thy presence go with us. We ask, O God, that tonight you will be pleased, Lord, to travel with us. And Lord, tonight we pray that you will be pleased to save the lost and deliver them from sin. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.